Welcome to the Synthaholics. This is your host, Aaron O'Brien. With me is the infamous and always here to chat about Star Trek, David Duncan.
Yes, I love that my name is an infamy, even though I'm only an ensign.
That means that it's infamous. It means that you're
anti-famous.
You're more than famous.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's an upgrade, unlike the one Picard gets.
Yes. Yeah, no, he got a downgrade. So, Dave, we are talking about Captain Picard and in the trying to get ready as our primer for the Picard series. And this one we've chose Tapestry to talk about because obviously this is a deep dive in just the Picard character himself.
Yes, his mind, what's going on with him, how he may or may not view the afterlife.
His heart.
What? His heart.
His heart. His missing heart. But before we get into Tapestry, we also have some news we have to get into.
We have very sad news this week.
Yeah, we do have some sad news. So I'm sure if you are a Star Trek fan, you know that Aaron Eisenberg passed away very recently. And he played Nog in Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, he's a very memorable character. I mean, maybe not on the main cast, but he's in there enough to make a huge impact on Star Trek and the fans. And Facebook's been blowing up with lots of things about Aaron Eisenberg, lots of pictures, lots of, you know, him from Star Trek Las Vegas and different people's personal times meeting him. And I think on Star Trek Online, they had like some kind of like memorial inside of Quark's bar for Aaron Eisenberg. So there's been lots of stuff happening and kind of remembrance of his life.
Yeah, it's too bad. And sadly, he's also survived by two sons. So it's even worse. Yeah. So and he's only 50. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think about that. I mean, I'm like 5 years behind him.
Yeah, he was only 50, and he had lots of problems with kidneys. He had two kidney replacements in his life, and
he was only born with one kidney, unfortunately.
Good grief, yeah.
So he was just dealt a short hand, and unfortunately, I guess it just happens, one of those things that, you know, bad shit happens to good people, unfortunately, and sometimes there's nothing you can do about it. It sucks.
Yeah.
A lot of people talking about favorite Nog episodes. Mm-hmm. It's Only a Paper Moon is one of the more popular ones that keep coming up.
Little Green Men, I love that one.
Oh, Little Green Men. Yeah. Any other ones that you can think of that you like?
I think the one they reference is the one where it goes into holodeck. That was a great episode.
It's Only a Paper Moon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean that those two are probably the most standout Nog episodes that are like great. The other ones, you know, are just okay. Where, you know, he and Jake are trying to hit on women, and he's teaching Jake how to be dicks to women.
Yeah, right.
Chew my food, spit it in my mouth. Teach them how to be birds.
So gross.
You know, that's the birds and the bees conversation.
Yeah, no, it's great, though. I love it. He will be missed, and sadly, just such a memorable character and somebody who's obviously beloved in Star Trek world. And it's so weird because there's so many other actors that are much older than him and are still, you know, very much alive and having, you know, a wonderful life.
But speaking of actors who are much older than him, Jack Donner has also passed away recently, and he was 90 years old.
Yes, he passed away September 21st. He played Sub-Commander Tall in the original series, and he also was a Vulcan priest that showed up in Enterprise the fourth season in episodes Home and Kir Shara. So, yeah, obviously another staple, and we felt it worth at least mentioning him. His episode on the original series was the Enterprise incident where they stole the cloaking device from the Romulans.
Oh, you Spock, and you're seducing the ladies. The pretty Romulan ladies.
I know, it's pretty crazy.
With your weird finger rubbing.
Finger rubbings. Yeah, so Jack Donner, rest in peace, and rest in peace, Aaron Eisenberg.
Rest in peace.
Absolutely. We also have some other tidbits of news. The Picard show, during the wrap, a photo was leaked or taken. I think it was an Instagram picture of the what do they call the little placards that tell, you know, say action and that stuff.
The clapboard.
Clapboard. Thank you. Clapboard. It had all the signatures of all the next gen cast, and Michael Dorn's picture signature was on there, which led people to think like, "Hey, Worf is on the is going to be on the Picard show," but. Apparently, that is not the case. He was only visiting during that last day of filming, and they were all hanging out. And he just was there, and he signed it just as, you know, because he was in it, just hanging out with everyone during the filming.
So. I mean, this could very well be the case, but Star Trek shows have a particular interesting history when it comes to lying to the fan base. Remember Khan being John Harrison? Or, I'm sorry, it was only John Harrison in Star Trek in the Darkness. It was never going to be Khan. And then somehow it was Khan. So I'm not saying Michael Dorn's in it for sure, but I'm just going to wait and see.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, totally. Anything could be true. Anything definitely could be true.
Maybe he was only there for the last day of filming because he only needed him for like a second. Like, they'll tease him for the next season or something. Like, he could be part of the cliffhanger. I don't know.
Very true. Very true. It would be cool. I mean, I would like to see a Worf show.
I would like to see Worf back. And the thing is, out of all the actors who are going to be in the Picard series, it's so weird that Worf isn't one of the ones that's confirmed to be back, since he's been the one who's most vocal about wanting to do more Star Trek and be Worf more. He's been trying to pitch his Worf show for, like, the better part of two decades.
I know.
So it's just like, it's so weird that, like, of all the people, like, you know, like we read that news that Jonathan Frakes was like freaking out about coming back to play Riker. Like, he's worried about playing the character after so long. And Worf's like, give me. I want to keep playing this character until I die. And they didn't give him a role. It's just really strange in my mind.
It is odd, but also, you know, they said that, we won't get a Geordi LaForge either. So, I mean, maybe we will in future season, or in a future season, but we just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's all up in the air. I mean, there's only 10 episodes, and they are fitting in an awful lot of characters, and then all these new characters, and just the one 10-episode season. So, I mean, there is a lot to do, and it is a lot to shoehorn all these characters in, but just how vocal Michael Dorn has been about wanting to come back and play Worf. It's just odd that he was never offered a part in this show.
Yeah, and we do have quite a full cast too with this first season of Picard. I mean, there's quite a lot of people. Obviously, we don't know everybody who's like the big roles and how much screen time they have, but there's enough. Talking about cast members, also, there was an Instagram picture taken of one of the young actors. Who the Romulan martial artist that is going to be there in the Picard show, Elnor? He's basically like Legolas.
He sounds like a dwarven name. I really hope he's like Kato in the Pink Panther. I'm still hoping for that.
Well, I believe it's the young actor who plays his younger version. His name's Ian Nunny, I think. He was taking a picture and he had. Like a fleece jacket, I believe, and on the jacket had the name, what he believes is the what a lot of people are speculating is the ship's name, and it was the in the Picard show, and it's the La Siena. Huh. So it may be that But we don't know, of course.
I'm maybe sort of surprised they didn't name it after his dead nephew.
I think this is a ship that he pirates for some reason. I could be wrong about that.
Hence renaming it to something else, so no one comes looking. You know, when people come looking for it, they're like, oh, that's not the ship. This is a different name ship.
This is a different ship. You don't need to be looking for that. Anyways, interesting stuff. I sad news, but also like little leaks, and I'm sure we'll be getting more information too soon from the New York Comic Con. So.
Oh yeah.
Let's hope at least a little more. Tidbits.
More tidbits, hopefully. I mean, they're supposed to have full panels for both Picard and Discovery, so that'll be exciting. And again, if any of you listeners who are actually going to these events, let us know if you get to sit in these panels. We would love to hear what goes on.
Absolutely. Before we get into the rest of our episode, Tapestry, just want to remind everyone, you can find our show on Sithaholics.com. You can email us if you want to bring up any topics or bring up something maybe we missed or just something you want to tell us about our show at Sithaholics@yahoo.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Sithaholics. You can tweet at us at Synthaholics Duo. So give us a tweet. Let us know you're listening. And then in addition, if you have any funds that you would like to support the show, you can go to Patreon.com/Synthaholics and give us a little boost to help us with the old podcasting business.
Yes, sir. That would be much, much appreciated to keep the lights on, the show running, the website working, and all the things that you need to make a podcast available to anyone who wants to listen to it.
Like shoes.
Shoes, yes. Well, the shoes were made for podcasting, and that's just what they'll do.
I guess you don't need shoes. You could wear flip-flops to podcasting, actually. You could be naked, actually.
I mean, Henry Zebrowski is often naked, much to Ben Kissel's excitement.
You might be talking to a naked Aaron right now. You just will never know.
I mean, I could be naked too.
You could be. Well,
for all of you out there just envisioning this.
Two men naked talking to you over your headphones.
Henry Zabowski slaps.
All right, well, let's get on to our main topic. This is Tapestry. This is Season 6, Episode 15, and first aired February 15th, 1993. We get the beginning is we're in sick bay, and Crusher's getting ready. Dr. Crusher's getting ready to get people who are wounded, and when they bring in the wounded, they beam them into sick bay. Picard is being held by Worf, and Worf brings him onto one of the beds, and he's shot right in the heart. It's like, so one of the aliens or something they were dealing with shot him, and this is basically gave him some cardiac arrest due to his artificial heart, which is this is the first time we've ever heard about his artificial heart.
No, it's not. We heard about it earlier. He told Wesley about his artificial heart earlier.
Did he?
Yeah, I think he also had another surgery for his heart earlier. Like, but in season two, that. Pulaski, like, it was a thing. He didn't want to admit that he had a false heart. And he was shot by a Tyrian beam, so the beam out it drinks and know things.
What is it?
The Tyrian beam. It drinks and it knows things.
I drink and I know things. I don't remember him talking to Wesley about it.
Yeah, they're on a shuttlecraft thing. It's an episode where Wesley's got to, like, he's going to the academy or whatever, and...
I thought that was later on in the
season. It's a Pulaski episode, I believe, because she's wearing her red get-up, and she's got to fix his heart or give him a new artificial... It was something like that.
Man, I really don't remember
season two.
Oh, interesting. And then we get Picard. He is, after they zoom out of the table and we get Picard walking in this white background, like he's maybe going to heaven. And then we see someone takes his hand and it is Q, of course. And Q says, "Welcome to the afterlife, Jean-Luc, you're dead."
You're dead.
So,
dun, dun, dun. And the show's over, the credits roll.
Show's over, yeah. And that's the Picard show right there. No, but and then we get in after the intro and the rolling credits. We get basically Q saying that he's God, and Picard just scoffs at it. He's like, yeah, you're not God.
I don't believe the universe is that badly designed.
Yeah, exactly. So Q's there, and he's trying to convince him that he's dead. He shows his father appears to him and kind of makes him feel bad for joining Starfleet.
Sounds a lot like Robert.
Yeah, I know, right? So like father, like son. And then we also get voices from his past of people who...
All the thousands of people he murdered at Wolf 351.
Yeah, all the sorts of people who are like, you know, we need your help.
Please don't assimilate us.
Yeah, well, Picard isn't falling for that either. And so he gets to the point where Q says, if it wasn't for your artificial heart, you wouldn't be dead. And then Picard gets into the story of how he got the artificial heart when he fought some Nausicaans and he was stabbed through the heart. And
why do Nausicaans bring knives to a fist fight? That doesn't make sense.
You've just brought a knife to a fist fight. And then then he gets transported. So Q hears the story and he's and Picard says, "There's a lot of things in my past I regret. I wish I would have done different." And
no regrets. It's tattooed on his butt.
Regrets. And then Q picks up on this and says, "You got some regrets. Would you like to go back and do that differently?" And he's like, "Of course." And then all of a sudden, he's back when he was a young ensign, being slapped by a young lady named Corlina, and because she found out that he's double dating.
I don't know why he made a date with this old MILF. I mean, she must be really good in the sack to upset the really pretty young Starfleet officer.
Officer?
Ossifer. I need to get into your little panties, Ossifer.
Yeah, he's just having fun, you know. He's just seeing what he can do. So after he gets slapped, he's in a different place.
He does have a thing for MILFs because in Star Trek Insurrection, he does go for the 400-year-old woman.
Yeah, she's quite an attractive woman, though.
She's definitely more attractive than this one.
Yeah.
His taste refines.
Yeah, his taste refines, exactly. So he's on Starbase Earhart, and so the lady slaps him. And
lots of Insurrection references lately.
and then when she walks out, you hear some clapping, and this is where he has Corey Zeller, one of his friends, Ensign Zeller, and Marta Batanates. I'm terrible at that name.
Cocktees.
Anyways, they're laughing and they're like, "Oh, you probably got another date. That's what it is." And then Q shows back up and basically saying, "You know, I set you back in this time so you can set things straight and see if that makes things any better.
You've got 3 days to fix the past."
And Picard kind of at first is like worried about the timeline, and Q says, "This will not affect any timeline. You're not that important.
No one will die."
Yeah, you're not that important. So Picard accepts Q's terms. He's going to play along. And he says, "Why did that lady slap you?" He says, "Oh, I was going to meet this other woman, Penny." And so
Money we, Penny. Bond's been in that. Bond's been in that hole.
Yes. I had to say that. So back
in the pond. Strange women lying in ponds, distributed in swords.
Like a bad penny, she just keeps turning up. All right, well, at the bar, Picard is talking to Penny, but unfortunately things don't go so well.
Picard calls her handsome.
Yeah, you never call a woman handsome. I'm sorry. That might be an older term, like maybe from years ago, but that is not going to get you anywhere.
Might get you wet, but not your dick.
Yeah, drinks thrown in your face, and that's what happens to Picard, unfortunately, when he calls her handsome.
Ooh. He wants to talk. She wants to fuck. Things don't go well.
Well, you know, she's looking for young guys for one reason. Come on, let's be honest. It's not for his brain.
I need someone to go all night long. Some space Viagra.
So, space Viagra. So,
do you have the Klingon condoms ribbed for my pleasure?
His, hers, or its pleasure. Don't you know? So we see Corey playing Domjot, and where Picard goes over and hangs out with Marta, and while he's creaming the floor with some other aliens, and that's when
just don't run up with Marta's legs.
don't run off with Marta's legs. And the Nausicaans show up and they want to play.
Koi decides. Don Jot, who won?
That's got to be like the ongoing quote for this podcast. I think we've said that so many times, I don't even know. It's like we've said play Jamjot humans so much.
So many times since the first time we talked about Tapestry.
I know, years and years ago. So Corey decides he's going to take on the Nausicaans. Even Picard's like, you know, oh, we don't want to get him angry. Let's not do it. And he's like, yeah, what do you care? What do you care about this? So Picard, the funny thing is Picard is still his adult self. And he's playing it safe, you know, like he would now compared to when he was younger. So,
he's had 6 years of Riker telling him to stay on the bridge. Don't do anything rash.
Can I get you anything?
Yeah, basically. He's been waited on hand and foot by Riker for so long, he's just like, yeah, I'm just not going to not do that.
He loses to the Nausicaans, and this is where he finds out that Corey assumes they must be cheating, and he wants to get back at them. So he thinks, like, we're going to beat them at their own game. And Picard's starting to say, you know, we're officers now. We don't need to stoop to this level. We need to set a higher standard.
We are children.
And then Corey's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And then he gets angry.
When did you get old and die?
Yeah, so he decides to walk out. And then Picard and Marta have a little thing and they're just about to kiss when Q interrupts them with some...
They're a John Luke Picard here?
And Marta's like, oh, probably some flowers from another one of your conquests.
Damn it, and Q, I was just about to make out with her.
And Picard mentions to Q, or Q kind of picks up on Picard that, you know, maybe you kind of wish that something happened between him and Marta. You know, you could always change that. But then Q lets him know that Corey's over there and he's rigging the Domjot table. So Picard goes to see Corey at the bar after it's been closed, and Corey and him get in a big fight. Basically,
it's like 4 or 5 in the morning.
I don't know, you know. Do these people need
when
to sleep?
When do these bars close? And when do space bars close?
That's a good question, because there's really no time, unless it's like maybe going... Actually, even
San
if it's...
San Francisco time.
Yeah, it's always San Francisco with the Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat on tap.
I don't think they have like any other time. I think all Earth time is all San Francisco time.
Because you think about it, if it's like if it's even orbiting a planet, it's always going to have like different time.
Nope.
Even then, the planet
all synchronized to Earth to San Francisco time.
So terrible. Well, after Picard and Corey's big fight, Picard goes to talk to Marta, and they get a little touchy touchy, kissy kissy.
Wow.
That, and they end up spending the night together. Unfortunately, Picard wakes up the next morning and
next
finds
to
that
Q.
He's sleeping next to Q.
And it was Q the entire time.
Yeah,
this is all Q wanted from Janeway. Q just wanted Janeway to bouncy bouncy him, and she could have taken them all home. Janeway is selfish. This is why I don't like Janeway.
True. That's a good point.
Janeway, she put out once, just once, she could have gotten her crew home years earlier. Just saying.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have had to break the Prime Directive and all these other things. Like, just have some sex once. Just let your freak flag fly. Do an alien. Do what Kirk would do.
Yeah, right. Kirk would do it.
Kirk would have done it.
So he wakes up to Q, and Q is still making fun of him with his what happened between him and Marta. And when Picard later meets her back at the bar, which always seems to be at night.
Also, Riker would have done it, too.
Well, Riker would have done anything. He would have fucked a tribble if he could.
He probably did.
So the Corey and Marta and Picard are all there.
And you know, Tom Riker did, because Tom Riker was very lonely for a very long time.
Yeah, he was very, very, very lonely.
The alien fleshlight.
That's called the Doomsday Machine. Anyways, Picard, they're all hanging out. It's supposed to be their last big night, and they're kind of like all depressed.
John Luke has just made them all sad because of his responsibility.
Let's be responsible. Like, oh, God, you suck.
Can we not?
And when
we
they
have
start
to get on a ship tomorrow, go to deep space.
I know. Picard tries to, you know, make things better by talking to him, but they're all just not feeling, you know, feeling it. And that's when the next the Nausicaans come back and want to play again.
Play Dom Not Human.
And this is where they start getting into a fight with the Nausicaans, and Picard, comes to his rescue, fighting with Corey, and even Marta gets into the fight too a little bit. And at this point, Picard gets stabbed through the heart, just like he did before, and then he is all of a sudden transported all the way back to the Enterprise, and he's wearing a blue uniform. And
no, he doesn't get stabbed through the heart. He pushes his friend away.
He pushes his friend away.
I saw him pull a knife.
I'm jumping ahead.
He's like, we used to could be friends, but now we're not could be friends now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's stupid of me. Sorry.
It's all right.
So Picard is back on the Enterprise, and he's in his blue uniform, and he's in front of Worf, and he's
are you my daddy?
Yeah. Do you have any condoms? So he has one of his little working pads, and he's like, "That's for Lieutenant Commander Forge, not for me." And he says, "Who's command of this?" And he says, "Thomas Holloway." And they think that something's wrong with him. He says, "Do you need to go to see the doctor? You need to go to sick bay?" And he goes, "No, I'll go." And he goes to talk to Dr. Crusher, and this is when he finds Q's there. And he basically tells him, like, "Hey, you want to play it safe, and now you can live life safely, running analyses, but not in command."
You know what the best thing about this alternate universe is, where Picard didn't do anything risky?
What's that?
He never learned about whatever the particle was in Chain of Command. So Jellicoe never became captain of the Enterprise, so Jellicoe never told Choi to put on a regular uniform.
Oh, that's a good choice. Yeah. She was back in regular uniform.
She was back in her booby outfit. Woo!
Yeah, she was. Later on, Picard goes to 10 forward and sees Riker and Troy there, and he wants to sit down. He wants to talk about...
You never saw the four lights in this timeline.
Yes. He wants to talk to him about maybe moving up in rank, and they basically says, you just don't take risks. You don't stand out. You know, you're just always playing it safe. And
Barkley takes more risks than you.
Yeah, exactly. And
Barkley just walks by. He's like lieutenant. He's like almost a third in command.
So he gets a call to that he's waiting. LaForge is waiting for some reports.
They should have doubled down on that, where Barkley was better performing than him. That would have been hilarious.
Yeah, like he's like commander or lieutenant commander or something.
He's answering Barkley. This would be an amazing alternate universe.
So Picard goes to give his report, and this is where he says, "Q is I'm not. This is not amusing. I says I'm not going to live this life as a dull man and with a dull job, and then in a dull life." And the door opens. He's back into that heaven-like white space, and then this is where, you know, he's basically like, "I can't be that person. I don't want to be that person." And he's
I'd rather die the man I was than to live a second more in this pitiful life.
Right, so Q returns him back to the bar, and this is where I jumped ahead, unfortunately. And Picard gets in the fight, and this is where he takes the knife to the heart, and
he laughs gleefully because I'm going back to my good life,
the old good life where I'm going to die on the table. And so after that, this is where we find out that Picard doesn't really die.
He doesn't die.
Yeah, and he stays alive, and Beverly was able to save him, and Picard was later on was talking to Riker and says he wasn't sure if it was a dream or he was just being another test by Q.
I'm sure it was another test by Q. I really hope we see Q in the Picard show.
It would be cool if they bring him back. So, Dave, we have talked about Tapestry a long time ago. What do you think about this episode, and what does it say about Picard?
Tapestry is just a beautiful episode, extremely well done. Can't get enough John DeLancey.
Mm-hmm.
Although I never made that connection to the Barkley thing. If they would have doubled down on that, that could have been like some great comedic relief.
Absolutely.
But they didn't really like spend much time in Picard's, you know, alternate blue shirt life.
Yeah, right, right.
So maybe if it was a two-part episode, maybe they could have doubled down on that. That could have been fun. But
yeah,
it's really a great episode. It's nice to see how Picard has changed and what made Picard who he is, and the dumb mistakes you did, and what makes you. It makes him a three-dimensional character. Seeing him as a flawed young person taking swords to the back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's also nice to get that filled in, you know, why he had the mechanical heart that was referenced, you know, many seasons earlier. So it all comes together really, really nicely, and as an episode on its own, it stands up very well. It holds up over time. It's great television. It's great Star Trek. And if anyone hasn't seen this episode, they should definitely watch it. As far as how this is going to line up with Picard, I mean, we've seen we've seen him be assimilated, not assimilated. We've had to see him deal with his brother and mud wrestle. We've seen him, you know, be tortured. Now we've seen him kind of die. And it's just, he's been through a lot. And will the Picard series continue this, like, we're going to keep fucking with him thing with Picard? Or what is that? And it's, I mean, we kind of have to wait and see.
Yeah.
What about you, Aaron?
Yeah, well, this is one of my all-time favorites episodes. You can go back and listen to it. We talk about it in episode 45.
Yeah, it was great. Aaron had a very personal story.
It's very personal.
He told us last time, which we talked about this, which is really great.
This episode literally changed my life, made me look at my life a lot. So I wanted to change my life. So I think this is a great in-depth story about Picard, and it, like you said before, it fleshes out the character. I think what's great about this episode is that, like anything, if we look back in our history, any one of us, any individual, we will see things that we regret, that we hate we did, that we wish we did better. You know, there's tons of things like that, and we seriously need to taken to account that makes us who we are today, the good and the bad. So the best thing that ever had, your best day in your life and your worst day in your life, make you who you are.
They are intertwined,
and you can't take it away. And sometimes there are memories I wish I could just erase from my brain, but I can't, and I have to know that those bad memories are part of me and I can't let go of them. So just like Picard's bad heart.
I need my pain.
Exactly. Like Kirk said, you just really need to embrace it one way or the other and know that you wouldn't be right now where you are without it. Anyway, so we're very much all tied up in our past, and it makes us who we are. So we see that with Picard, which is wonderful, I think. And I don't know if we'll see Picard a mention of his bionic heart, but it's interesting.
Who knows how this is going to connect, if at all. I really hope we get some Q. That would be a great way for it to connect. Although Q's been in other episodes, I think this is the only one that's really been super Picard centric where Q has played a major part. This is the first one in the series where Q's played a major part. So I would love, because Q and Picard are tied together so much, I really, really hope that we do see Q make a comeback at some point in the series. If it's not in the first season, I hope it's in more. Because I do think it was a huge missed opportunity not to have John DeLancey play Q in any of the next-gen movies.
Right, right. I was watching it, and I was thinking, like, man, these two actors just, like, they just work so well together. You know, Patrick Stewart and John DeLancey, the way they bounce their lines back. I don't know how often they did takes and what variations they did, but it is pretty wonderful to see them work together. So it would be nice to see it again.
And yeah, and John DeLancey is just such a great actor. I love him and everything I've seen him in. I haven't seen him in all that much. But, you know, he was in, of course, Star Trek The Next Generation. He was in Breaking Bad. And he was in the TV movie Get Smart Again.
And he was in Star Trek Continues. In that one episode.
He was amazing in that. The black and white episode. That was really
cool. Yeah, it was fantastic.
He's also in When the Train Stops, but I haven't seen that.
Mm-hmm. So it would be great to see him maybe as a teaser before we get to, like the teaser for episode 2 of Picard. That'd be kind of cool. You know, we're going to get a Q season.
A Q season, that'd be great.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah.
I mean, I'm sad Q only showed up once in Deep Space Nine, but, I mean, like, Q and Picard had a way better dynamic than Q and Sisko.
Yeah, and obviously Q and Janeway.
Yeah, Q and Janeway had several episodes. They had the Q and the Gray, and they said that the Q continuum was like the Civil War. It was like, it was kind of weird. But the thing is now, like, I mean, I know they made the Q continuum super simple in Voyager just so, like, they didn't have to spend any budget on it. They just, like, were trying to, like, dummy it down so that, just so your primitive brains can understand it, but with modern budgets like they have now, they could do some wild stuff with the Q continuum if we do go back there.
I can't even imagine what they would possibly do. I mean, there's with the special effects, they can make it almost like a godlike experience, which Q is kind of like.
He's basically a deity. I mean, he's that powerful of a being. He can do anything he wants at the snap of his fingers. Kill mm-hmm. people, bring him back. You know, generate a world, stop time. I mean, he's, for all intents and purposes, as far as Star Trek goes, he is all-powerful. I mean, there's no one more powerful than him except for maybe the prophets.
Yeah, and we don't even know. And maybe, I mean, we just don't know, of course. But, yeah, he's one of those, he's just so amazing, but they could do anything with him. So, they would have a field day with CGI.
CGI puke vomit all over the screen. They could do so much.
Yeah, absolutely. So that would be cool. I don't know. I really think that this would be a wonderful thing to kind of go back to somehow, but I don't know how they would. And I honestly, maybe they shouldn't even touch it now that I think about it. I would just like to see like where like Corey went off to and Marta, ran off to later on. Like, maybe they showed up again, but they probably
died.
They were one of those voices that he heard.
Wolf 359, probably.
You were a dick of a friend.
That'd be a great way to pull it in. Like, show them, like, do flashbacks of this episode. And be like, oh, yeah, your friends. They died at Wolf 359. Let's abuse Picard some more. I really think Picard's life is just full of abuse, so might as well keep that trend going in Picard.
It really just like the more you think about it, it's just like him. Just if you're a captain of not just the Enterprise, any starship, you might be under a lot of abuse for a very long time.
Forever, if Q has a sense of humor and really, really likes you.
Well, just think about everything that we've gone through that he's got, like, the being assimilated by the Borg and what was we just talking about? What was the last episode?
Chain of Command.
A Chain of Command where he's tortured, by the Cardassians.
But the guy who's got a weird fetish for him. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, he's gone through so much and he is remarkably stable through it all.
It's like what I say, Troy must be an amazing therapist.
She just has the most amazing boobs, and she just, like, hugs him.
Is that what it does?
I don't know. I think she's her boobs.
Are you saying boobs are therapy?
I'm pretty sure hers are, since she's also a psychic, and she's got the empathic, telepathic ability. She just sends, like, boob pictures into his brain telepathically, and he's like, oh, that's great, soothing.
I don't know. I don't know if that will calm the violence that he went through.
I don't know. Who knows? Maybe it won't.
Yeah, maybe not.
I don't know. I like that meme. Boobs make everything better. You get an argument, boobs. If you said that's, boobs.
That's whatever. True. Boobs do make everything better. I don't care. Yeah. Yeah, I don't. I know. I just. I would love to see Q show up. I don't know if this will have any impact on anything else in this upcoming series. But it's great to see who he is deep down in his character, how he moved out of those wild years and went into somebody more stable.
And then I wonder if he'll be Archie Bunker in the new show.
I wonder. You know,
Edith.
Hey, Dad. Oh, Archie. I really wonder too. Could it be? Now, here's another thing to think about. Now, when you get older, you could get old and crotchy, right? That's always a possibility.
Alzheimer's.
But sometimes old people get fucking crazy, and they do crazy shit. Like, I'm going to take up snowboarding until they break their hip or something like that. But
what if the girl's a figment of his imagination?
Which girl? Oh, yeah. That would be... Oh, wouldn't that be the ultimate mind fuck?
Oh. Everyone's like, I've got to save this girl. Like, what girl? There is no girl.
That would be hilarious.
It's just all the mental fuckery that's gone on in his life has come down to this. And he's just like, I've got to go on one last adventure because this girl needs me. She's and come to
all,
me. And it's like,
it's all delusion. It's all delusion.
None of it's real because he's been fucked with so many times in his life. He doesn't know what's real and what's not.
That's crazy. So he has a complete schizophrenic crack up in his late years, his 80s.
In his wonder years.
His wonder years, his golden years. Golden years. I'll tell you about golden years. Golden years is getting up every 10 minutes and going to the bathroom.
Hey, I'm looking at that right now.
Yeah. I can't wait. Can't wait till you're
like 35. 90. I'm only 35.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
I'm living my golden shower years now. Oh, you know.
Golden shower years. Oh, no. No.
No, I just have to pee a lot. It sucks.
It does suck.
Who knows what the Picard show will be? I just think it'd be fun to add more. I mean, my hopes and dreams to the Picard show now that we've been deep diving into Picard is I just want him to get like fucked with more. Like I really hope he gets assimilated and then he gets hurt and needs to be assimilated to keep him alive. That would just be fun, just to add more pain to the Picard, you know, pain mix. Because I think that's just where it's at with Picard. He's just gonna keep getting fucked with.
So you're saying he's
until his
the
king dying of, days.
He's the king of pain.
Yes, he is the king of pain. Picard's like, they had to talk. He and Kirk had to talk about pain before he got the bridge on the captain. It's like, I need my pain. Picard's like, I've gotten so much pain.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I want to see him go through anything worse in his later years. Although I do love that idea that you just threw out that maybe the girl is delusion and he's kind of like, you know, nobody can figure out what the fuck he's doing.
But the thing is, his reputation is so good, people just go along with what he's saying, even though he's
yeah,
you know, even though he's like batshit crazy now for all the awful experiences he's gone through. But people are just like, well, I trust him. And there's obviously something like, but there's something really bad going on. But his delusions are like make it worse or like it's different. But they somehow coincide. Like, it'd be cool. It'd be crazy.
That is a wonderful, wonderful idea. And I hope I hope the show is as creative as the idea that you just threw out. Somehow, I don't know if it it will be, but we can only hope.
We can only hope. I know it's hard. It's hard to get you know, things too excited because, like I said about Doomcock's theory about how he's gonna just die, and I'm like, no, that would just be awful.
I've seen that running through now. Now there's a couple sites that have been reporting on what Doomcock said, and they're running with it, saying that might be. What if that happens? You know.
And the thing is, like, I mean, it's a completely plausible theory because it is so dumb. I wouldn't put it past CBS to do. I've said it four or five times last week, and I'll say it again this week. It's so not so money grubbing. That they're just using Patrick Stewart to springboard a new series and they're just trying to kill him off just to get the subs in. It's just.
But my thing is, if they do that, okay, you have a cast that of relatively unknowns. I mean, unless they're going to throw Data or of 7 of 9 back in that crew, which
as
I don't
a permanent.
I think those are only cameos. You know, they're only going to be on like one episode or maybe a few, but nothing crazy. So my thought is, you know, these, who's going to tune in after that if Picard dies?
I don't know. I don't think people will. I mean, if they kill the title character, and this is what's making everyone excited for the show, is that the fact that he's, if they kill him off, that's going to be awful. But I mean, like I said last week, I would be sold if they did that, gave him an honorable death that's not stupid, don't bother bringing him back, and then Seven becomes like the captain. That would be great, because I would love to see more of Seven. That would be great.
That would be cool. I don't know. There's so much that could happen. So we just don't. We really don't know. But
I know we pass the torch to Worf, and it becomes the Captain Worf show.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a backdoor pilot.
We just, you and I vacillate so much from excitement to sheer dread when, with the first two seasons of Discovery, like, it's going to be great, it's going to be great. Like, oh my God, it might suck so bad.
And then it starts off so good, at least with second season, it started off so good, and then it ended up super disappointing. So it's just like, yeah, we oscillate a lot, but it's the show also oscillates a lot. So it's just, so do our feelings.
It definitely does. I think Guy said something. Guy Davis said, you know, most Star Trek takes at least two or three seasons to get off the ground running.
But that's not how it should be anymore. We should refine it. I mean, the fact that Discovery is still going on, that age-old issue, I mean, I don't know. Other shows don't take three seasons to get good. Other shows get canceled if they're not good in the first two seasons. Why does Star Trek get a free pass to be terrible for the first couple seasons, and then before it gets good? Why does it get that free pass?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, Deep Space Nine is my favorite series, which I've said many, many times before on the show. But those first couple seasons are truly dreadful, suffering through the first time.
Yeah.
It's a little bit easier to stomach on repeat viewings because it's just...
You know where everything goes.
The puzzle pieces make more sense, but when the first time you watch it, it's just like, why are we talking about these characters? Who are these people? I don't care. Like,
yeah.
There's so much that kind of that takes away from what you think should be what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's just painful, painful, painful episodes to watch early on. And then it becomes amazing, but... It's been like that for almost all the Star Trek series, and I don't know why. And I was really hoping Discovery would buck that trend. And since Picard's only going to run 3 to 4 seasons from what they've been saying, it doesn't have time to suck for the first three seasons.
No, yeah. And honestly, I do wonder how much does Patrick Stewart want to be on like a show like that, you know, where they're filming for however long they are. You know, I think we've mentioned before, I mean, he's in his 80s. I'm sure he doesn't want to do it for that long. You know, it's not like, you know, it was in the old days when he was in his 40s and 50s doing Next Generation.
Sure. So. I don't know. I mean, like, I mean, I can see, I mean, Guy made a good point that he's old and he's tired and he doesn't want to do it, but at the same time, it just seems really low for CBS just to attract him in for one season just to get people on board and then to kill him off, because that just seems like it's a money grab for CBS more than it's already been.
Right.
And that just seems sort of kind of shameful just to, you know, put Patrick Stewart out there just to do that.
Right. I agree. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I'm hoping they don't go that route. Maybe if they kill him after the second season... And then we felt like we got like a good, like, you know, 20 stories or something with him.
Maybe. I mean, who knows? I don't know. I mean, like, we'll just have to see how it goes. I mean, I'm excited for it. I mean, I was never expecting 7 of 9 to be in it. And the fact that she's in it is a huge bonus for me. Because she's one of my favorite characters on Voyager. So that was a big surprise. It was like a pipe dream that she would be on it. I was like, nah, they're not going to have her. And they did. So... that's awesome. I just hope it's not only a cameo. I hope it's an important role.
Oh, we'll see. And then, you know, we got Data, which is great. And Riker and Troy are back. So those are all confirmed, of course. Maybe there is a Worf. So
maybe we'll, so.
We all know. So anything else we want to talk about for Tapestry and for Picard?
I don't think so. It's just everything's so much speculation, and there's not a whole lot of news. I mean, we got like the ship name and that Worf may or may not be in it, but that's not really tons to go on. It's right. Just now mostly kind of reacting to other online speculation, which, you know, may or may not come true. So like Doomcock speculation, which I'm not saying he's my favorite person in the world, but I'm glad he came up with a rumor and not just fake news that he likes to put out. So rumor and speculation is interesting, and I'm all about discussing that.
Right. And that's worth talking about. I'm not saying I agree with what that is, but I mean, that is worth at least mentioning.
For sure.
So
anything for you?
No, I think, I like I said, again, this is one of my favorite Next Gen episodes. I love this episode. I think it's just such a well put together show, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely makes you think about life, and you know, as bad as some things have been in like your past, like you are who you are now because of it, and like, you know, the people you've met, and you know, even though things may have sucked, it's just like you wouldn't have met those people if those sucky things didn't happen, you know, or you know, like, you know, meeting you or meeting Robbie or meeting Holly, like so many things could have like just gone wrong. Like if one of us didn't get a job at Yahoo, we wouldn't know who each other are.
True. Very true. Yeah. I mean,
just the funny little threads, like what, you know, how we both got to the job, like the fact that I had Star Trek stickers on my desk, or I had those things printed on my desk. If they didn't have those and you didn't sit next to me in training, like we probably wouldn't have known each other like Star Trek. You know, it's just, we may not have talked. We were on different teams. We worked different hours.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many different things that could have prevented us from becoming friends, and just the littlest things, like the smallest little threads could have changed our lives considerably. And it's staggering to think about.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. There's, yeah, you just move like one little like Lego block or one little tiny domino and out of the chain. Synthaholics
doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's just the littlest thing.
Because, I mean, we weren't lifelong friends. I mean, we've been friends for years, and I hope we are lifelong friends for as long as we're alive. But, you know,
we haven't known each other that long. Yeah,
I mean, we've known each other for a grand total of like 6-7 years, and we've been podcasting
maybe five of it. Yeah, maybe six. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So, I mean, it's, I mean, most of our, this is kind of great. Like, you guys who listen to the show, you're basically chronicling our entire friendship. I mean, like, we had like a year maybe before the show started, before we were just co-workers.
And that was just us passing in the hallways at work going like, hey, I watched Deep Space Nine episode, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, we would just talk about it for like, you know, 10 minutes. And then we were like, oh, I got to get back to work. Yeah, me too.
And then we also, like, you know, we're around nobody who, like, understood us or what we were saying.
No,
it was just, like, everyone, like, would try to avoid us because we were so into Star Trek.
Everyone would be like, yeah, Star Trek, yeah. I'm more of a Star Wars guy. And we're like, yeah, that's cool, too, but Star Trek, right? And they're like,
Star Trek. Like, no. And the thing is, it was like I worked in a room with nerds, and everyone was like, wow, you're the worst. as far as nerdy goes, yeah.
I know.
Yeah, it's just strange. So it's like, you know, we found each other as like the other Trekkie in the building. It's sometimes hard to find a bunch that are into it as much as we are.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
On the internet, there's tons of them, but in person, in Buffalo.
Yeah, like sometimes I see somebody with like a Star Trek like bumper sticker or something. I'm like, right on, man. It's cool to see that once in a while. You don't see it too often. Like you'll see like the live long and prosper hand, you know, thing, you know, but you don't see it like too often. So yeah,
and
you see way more Star Wars,
yeah,
actually, and maybe more alien stuff too. You know, just like stuff like that. You see more of that than anything.
Well, what's awesome is I posted that picture to the Synthaholics group of that sticker my fiance and her dad made for my car.
Yeah.
And I gave Aaron one too. So now there are two more Star Trek representing walking around. Actually, right. Someone at a grocery store saw it and was like, hey, is that a good podcast? And so I'm walking back to my car. I'm like, yeah, I think it's pretty good. I'm part of
the show. Leave me alone.
But it was just kind of cool. Someone like stopped and talked to me because of the sticker I had on my car. And I was like, yeah, it's a good podcast. I mean, I think it's so. I mean, I do the podcast, so I am kind of biased. But I do think we are some of the more entertaining Star Trek podcasts out there. We make good time, and we try to make it funny and enjoyable. Because Star Trek, as much as we love it, it can be dry.
Oh, yeah.
And we try to make Star Trek wet and fun for you.
Jesus.
Maybe that was the wrong metaphor. But you know what I'm saying.
Very much so. Well, Dave, let's...
we're trying to make it moist.
Before we make anybody more moist, let's wrap up the show.
Absolutely.
So our intro music is done by Dave Wilkes. Our outro music is done by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com. And you can follow them on Twitter at twitter.com/warp11. You can also, as I said before, you can find us at synthaholics.com. And you can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. Please also subscribe to our Synthaholics channel on YouTube. YouTube.com/Synthaholics, and you can tweet at us at on Twitter at Synthaholics Duo. I'm at Blackbird2004. David is David_J_Duncan, and Holly is at Lunar Thistle.
And hopefully she'll be back next week. She had to take her triple to the vet.
The triple was sick.
I think she had to be injected with some con blood.
Oh boy.
God.
So also go to Facebook and join our groups, facebook.com/groups/Synthaholics. We have a nice group banner going on and people posting and talking, and it's a good little fun. And then also if you can go to Patreon, throw us a buck, patreon.com/Synthaholics, a buck or more just to help, as Dave said, keeps the light on the podcast shack. While we sit here naked needing shoes, so that's right. If you can't do that, please share us on social media or tell your friends, your neighbor, your roommate, your schoolmate,
school principal. He needs to lighten up. Listen to some Synthaholics.
Like, you're gonna get more detention after that. So, definitely sharing the show is a great way to support us. So, let people know. Anything else you want to say, Dave, before we sign off?
I think that's it. Live long and prosper, one and all.
Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
I can hear you. I can hear things. And things and stuffs.
Things are making sounds.
Yes.